Anytime I told her not to touch me, she's like, I've changed her diaper, I've seen it all, and I birthed you, I can do whatever. And one of her favorite things to say when I was growing up is, I brought you into this world and I can take you out.
You're listening to Alchemical Voices, a podcast exploring the lives of BIPOC, transracial adoptees, and survivors of complex trauma. Hi, I'm Jaslyn, your host, a nurse, and trauma release practitioner, curiously observing the human experience. As a Black woman and survivor of human trafficking, I've encountered many, many hardships. On the road to recovery, I discovered that storytelling unites us at heart and is where we find healing, inspiration, and encouragement. In each episode, you will hear stories from courageous souls, and we will touch on subjects such as identity confusion, the impacts of racism, complex trauma, transracial adoption, and much more. How do we rise amid trials and tribulations? How do we invite softness into our lives? We touch on these and many other questions, so tune in to experience transformative storytelling and let's heal together. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Alchemical Voices podcast. Today, I have Kara Stevens in the studio, and I am so excited for this beautiful being to share her voice and story with the world. Kara, with a beautiful smile, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. I need to get back on my dental hygiene for this smile because I'm not really consistent with that anymore.
Well, all I see is a beautiful white smile. So,
oh yeah, I get that. Like it, I think anybody who has PTSD, or even if you don't, there's going to be moments where your perception is going to be completely different from somebody else's. Like, one thing I like, the first thing I noticed about you, like, I had a sense about who you might be because you look almost exactly like one of my friends, that she was there for me in a time where I really needed a friend. So, like, it's awesome how we have these connections without knowing where they're coming from until after we've healed.
Yeah,
And it's,
absolutely.
The healing's forever.
It is, as I say, it's a never-ending story. It's a never-ending journey. Mm-hmm. And when we think that we've worked through something, oh, there's more healing to do in that area.
Exactly. It reminds me, like, that was one of my favorite movies to watch. Never-ending story.
Yeah.
Like, growing up.
Mine too. There's a lot of spirituality in that movie. A lot.
Oh, I had so many dreams of that dog. Like, just flying on the dog. It's like, yay, I'm, and you're rubbing his little fluffy ears, his tail wagging.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. So, Kara, you before we started recording, you shared that there are some things that you would like to read to the audience. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to start by saying something, or?
I might share my story first, and then end with a couple of examples of my writing that I've done since I've healed, and
Yeah.
since I've been healing. I'm still writing, and it's morphed so much. And even my first book, there's going to be a second edition because I'm writing prequels to it, and I'm going to add information, or, you know, it's going to morph just as I've evolved. So,
Beautiful. I love that. As an upcoming author myself, it's an honor to meet another author and connect with other writers.
Please let me read it. Please.
Yes, you'll read it.
Well, I guess it would make the most sense to start with a little of my parents' history. not to drop the dime on anybody, but just to kind of, I'd rather come from a place of empathizing with myself and them because they did grow up during the time where my dad was in the Vietnam War and my mom was raised in Pentecostal religion. I joined the military just like a little bit later, but I have both sides in me of that history that I can empathize with. And I think that's part of who I am. Just like I have to know things, and the best thing way for me to know things is to experience them.
Absolutely.
And then obsess over what I got wrong the first time I tried because I jump in head first and then go back. So my dad was born in California, Van Nuys. I love that name. But it was mostly raised in Indiana. He had one brother, and I believe I always get this mixed up, like seven sisters, but one died in childhood. His sister and her friend had fallen into the water when they were playing. And the oldest was a teenager, distracted by hormones, because her boyfriend was there. And my brother saved her friend, but he couldn't save his sister in time. Sorry, I forgot to do the trigger warning. There's like so much grief.
It's okay. It's totally okay.
And there's a part of me that feels like both my sister and I are split rebirths of her because dad held so much of that grief in him that it came out. Because, like, both my sister and I have at different times felt like we were her, and my sister has the same name. My dad's no longer living, so I'm just imagining giving him his spirit a hug. And I have a giant bunny named Ernie, which was his name. And my business name is Ernest S.B. Brown Publishing.
Wow.
So
Beautiful.
it's like I'm a lot of my writing is healing ancestral trauma as well. So on my mother's side, and it's like, so I don't know if this is factual, but there was a rumor that my grandfather sexually abused some of the sisters, some of his sisters. So he had to protect his sisters from his dad. And he was a steel miner, so he died of emphysema when I was one. His, like, my dad's mother, who possibly evolved from Vikings, just funny thing about the name. like, she died about a month later. And if that doesn't represent a trauma bond, I don't know what does. Like, they say it's heartbreak, but I think it's more like you don't know what to do because you've been controlled so long.
I've heard of that.
And so, like, I grew up with one grandmother. So I already felt like I was missing something. On my mom's side, her dad had narcolepsy and died of a heart attack when she was 16. She'd had a fight with him and they didn't make amends before he died. So she held a lot of that self-hatred in her. And I have a lot of the facial, like the similar ex appearance as her, as far as like same nose shape, same, like, even sometimes, like, when I'm depressed and not feeling like myself, I almost feel like I look like she did when she was her like most depressed. But like he would fall asleep while eating and she would wake him up and he would like rage at her. So, you know, she had the same rage. Like, I don't know if it's PTSD. I don't know if it's like borderline. I don't know if it's narcissism or even sociopathy. 'Cause, like, there are times I like don't know what the hell she could have been thinking. Like, just the way she treated me and, you know, others, not just me. So I have, I've done research and I honestly think I was born with dissociative disorders that I have, partially because of the ancestral trauma, which, you know, it's stored in our genes, but also partially because, like, I think dissociation might be a form of narcolepsy in a way, like a spiritual narcolepsy, where you just shut it down as soon as a trauma happens, so you don't remember. But my grandmother was hyper independent. Like she was super organized, loved her arts. She would whistle while she was cleaning. And when she would get burnt out, she would get kind of like more fussy. Like it was Lord have mercy. It was one thing she would say. Or I think earlier you said, "Oh Lordy," and that's something she said. But like I remember my uncle, like when I was older, had a parrot, and the two things that parrot remembered was, "What you doing?" and "Lord have mercy." and I love birds. I love animals. So, you know, there's a lot of joys when I think about my family history because of other connections. And there's a, in talking to my therapist, if I didn't have the coping mechanisms my dad taught me, in a humane manner, by the way. He didn't force me to be something I wasn't. I probably would have been diagnosed Asperger's, based on what the newest data is, but in the 80s and 90s, I was too quiet to even be seen, so why would they think anything was wrong with me? But so my mom, once she was a little older, she was just she got into a really unhealthy relationship where, you know, he was abusive and on drugs and alcoholic. And when my dad met my mom, it was through a newspaper. So he responded to three people and he connected with her the most. I've read their love letters and he fell for her really fast. Like within months, he was hooked because she validated him without actually validating him now that I think about it. Like it was connecting through similarities, but it felt too formal. Like, which, you know, during that time, there was probably pressure to be more formal. But there's something missing in it. And my dad played the banjo and created songs. And I have, like, through those letters, I have a copy of a song that he wrote about the place where he was stationed in the Marshall Islands called Kwajalein. And I really want to learn the banjo, which my husband is really good at, but I don't like annoying him for lessons. So like I want to turn like eventually turn that into a song when it coincides with the story in the 13 book series I'm writing.
Wow.
It's an adult dark psychological fantasy that's also epic. And I don't know
Wow.
how many characters there are going to be, but over time I've learned that there's a likelihood that I have dissociative identity disorder. And each time I learn something about a new character, I get flashbacks to a time in my life where I was that character. But other people couldn't see it because it was so like toned down. So it's like almost who I am, but everybody else's version of who I am all at once. So like very chameleon-like in that like I didn't know who I was because I had, a dissociative dad who had PTSD. My mom likely had PTSD on top of whatever else she's dealing with. And he didn't have a college degree because he served in the Vietnam. He got sprayed by Agent Orange. His friends died around him. He had so much survivor's guilt on top of the survivor's guilt from his sister. So like he before he had deployed to the Marshall Islands, he was married, and when he deployed, his wife left him, disappeared. He didn't know where to even send child support. And so I didn't know I had a half sister until she moved in with us when she was 14. Like I knew, but I didn't know. I had never met her. And I was, or maybe it was a little over, she was a little over 15 because I'm 11 years younger than her. But like my dad was a truck driver from about the time when I was 6 months old. Just a little bit about him. When he saw my older half brother, which my mom had from her previous marriage, pretending to smoke a cigarette with like one of those candy cigarettes, he quit smoking and drinking cold turkey. Like that is badass. And like truly shows his values. He doesn't want to pass on something unhealthy. It's even like, and it showed how much he cared about his stepson. Like, I was born about a, it was a year and 25 days after they got married. So like pr conceived pretty quickly. My mom had to quit her job and she never quit to tell me about it. So, yes, I'm a burden, whatever. I say that jestingly. But dad had to take on that burden as well, like the extra financial burden. So he became a truck driver when I was about 6 months old. And there's a part of me that's like remembers he tried to get home for birthdays at least. And he was home for most Christmases. But there are gap years where I don't remember much time at all. Like I actually don't remember most of my life. I have some memories that pop up and they often disappear until I get triggered about them again. Like so even though like I'm aware that I have these alters, I don't know where they come from.
Don't you think that that's a result of what was going on? I mean,
Oh, yeah.
Knowing your story, what you experienced with your mother, and what you experienced with that church member.
Yeah, and I can go into that now. So now that you have their history, like they each had previous marriages that were completely unhealthy.
And children on both sides.
And my dad didn't have custody of my sister except for like 3 years, and then she joined the Navy. So,
Okay.
and followed in his footsteps, basically. So I was born a month and a half early. The story goes the doctor wanted to go snorkeling, but the timeline of my birth didn't fit, so he wanted to take me early. And I believed that most of my life, and it confused the shit out of me. Like, so fucking confusing. Like, you're a doctor. I mean, now, especially as an adult, like, you can pass on your surgery because it was a C-section. You could pass on the surgery to another obstetrician. Like, come on. What the actual fuck? Musa, Arambash. Oh, there's a song I created for moments like this. Arambash is der Hekko, Zindagi khubas magar besir sakhtas. It means relax, calm down. Life is good, but sometimes it can be difficult.
What language was that, by the
That was
way?
Persian Dari. I learned it in the military.
Wow.
And that one
Amazing.
stays in me because I love it so much. Oh, I love it.
And good for you. Good that you can sing that song to yourself and you're like, oh, I gotta bring it down. I gotta bring it down. And then you just sing that song.
I created it this past year. Like, I don't know how long ago. It was during the summer after a
Oh.
ketamine infusion. So it's been helpful.
Amazing.
But so I was on the respirators for 9 days. My lungs weren't completely developed. I ripped them out of myself. Like, I was done. Dad called me super baby. I fucking love him. Like, thank you, daddy. Like, I fucking love him. Like, he called me super baby. Mom talked about how she couldn't hold me, and it cost so much, and she had a scar and so much pain from the C-section. And oh, it messed with her bladder. Oh, and now she can't do things she wants to do, like work again. 'Cause she worked in a factory, and she was also in beauty school. She couldn't graduate that 'cause she couldn't do a perm. 'Cause she was pregnant. So like there were so many things she couldn't do because of me. Never mind that I couldn't breathe because of her fucking decision to let the doctor change my delivery date.
That is wild. And
Yeah, like,
the audacity to put that burden on a child, you are an inconvenience. It doesn't even matter that she did, if she said it directly or not. She was constantly saying that every time she whined about what she couldn't do because of you.
yeah, and like, it's no wonder that with my autism. I to autism. I don't want to say, yes, I'm autistic because I haven't been diagnosed, but like I have a strong sense that I'm autistic. I mean, because of the strong senses. Like, so, I'm still really proud of my baby self because, that's badass. I couldn't breathe when I was born, and I still took it on myself to breathe. Like, that's badass.
It is.
So,
You're a fighter.
yeah. Oh, I love fighting. I love calm, but I don't like fighting, but I love the actual, like boxing, like Muay Thai. Ooh. I got a certification at one point. I'm not great at it, but I like to do it for fun.
That's what matters the most, that you're
Yeah,
enjoying yourself. Yeah.
exactly. So I recognize I'm tangential, but it's from my brain thrives on connections. And so it links back, but like this is what I've realized since then. So it's not like a hopeless mess that I was in before. That's kind of how I do things when I'm doing like memoir related things, but not my
Yeah.
dark fantasy that goes deep into the darkness. So back to this story. My granny and my great aunt, I remember them filling in a lot. I spent a lot of time at their houses. And later in my life, mom tried to tell me that they didn't like me being there because they couldn't do things because I was in the way, whatever.
Oh.
And she was really good at love bombing at times too. So it was, I didn't see it clearly. It was a really confusing mess. My younger brother was born less than 3 years later. I had to get my math right. middle child, two siblings, one, I remember some of the earlier times with my older brother, but like there were all, I also remember times where he abused me. And which is, was role modeled. Mom was well behaved when dad was home. But when he was gone, she was so rage filled. I had problem with bedwetting. I was clumsy. When I was two, I like they were gardening, and this was the time dad was home. They were gardening, and my older brother was supposed to be watching us, but he was 11. And, I'm a, like, at 2 years old, I'm this clumsy, hyperactive child who wants to play and swing and just, naturally dissociating. So I want to fly. So I go on my homemade swing, which, dad got roped, like the kind that splinters your finger. So I would wear gloves. and I would swing on my stomach because I didn't know how to pump, but I would put my arms out like I was flying, let go. And so it was just my stomach balancing, almost like when dad did the airplane. So it was like I was imagining connecting to dad when he was forced to do the gardening while exhausted from being on the road from so long. Like it, he did so much. And I saw that from an early age. Like I don't know how, like I don't know how my brain knew what was going on without having the words for it. Like mom would scream at him and Ben would be crying, my younger brother. And I remember this one time we were eating, and it was a little older. We were eating chicken, and I had a chicken leg. So I got down on the floor and gnawed on it like a dog going, argh. And dad started busting out laughing, but mom started screaming at me. So that was my life. Like, no matter what I did, it was wrong. So I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. And mom had left some pallets against. So this is, I'm back into swinging. Not the dog part, but like back at when I was swinging. My lip caught on a pallet that she had left against the bushes and it ripped. And so, like, I remember it was hanging just from the top, blood was coming down. The last thing I remember during that time, like right after it happened, like this, it was really bad stinging, then not like cold numbness. And like I watched the blood drip into my palm and my fingers were spread, and then it formed little waterfalls, and I kind of looked underneath it. So like in my writing, one of the things that I do to process that is like there's a place called Hronojai, which is the land of blood. And that's where like immunizations and like the cure graft versus host and stuff like that in this magical world. And like immune disorders and stuff like that. So like it's super soothing. But at the time, like I remember like that's kind of where I disappeared. Like it looked like it does now when I'm writing. Like it looked like the world that I disappeared into in my head. So it's just like rivers of blood that I just bathed in, kind of thing. And I was too having this imagery. Didn't help that I grew up in Pentecostal, so that I was being read the Bible. I was told to start reading the Bible at 3 because my brother was already doing it. So like there was a lot of comparison too, like why aren't you as smart as your brother? Well, I'm dissociative, so I can't see the words, so I got hyper focused on learning to read better, learning to calm down my brain, right, reading to picture the words because I'm very visual. And later in life, when I learned that I had a cousin who, like Martha Bolton, she's like a really renowned Christian author, the Christian comedy author. And my dad introduced me to her when I was 12. So that's the reason I'm obsessed about the writing part now. Like I keep going back to it. Like I've had that dream since I was 12, or a little before 12, of having my own bookstore with my books in it. Now I'm doing that online. but like I kind of lived in that world for a long time. A little later, or a little before that, God, I had forgotten the timeline. This is extremely triggering for me, so I'm gonna look away for a second.
Yeah, it's okay. Can even take a breather if you need that.
I don't need time. I just need, like, this is how I am. Like, I'm not gonna run from it. I embrace it because there's still parts of me, like the creature I'm talking about is still part of me. So Dad could tell that we were lonely. And he got us a dog. He brought it home. It was wrapped in a blanket. This golden retriever. I remember he's like, guess what I got? And I saw the yellow foot or the tail sticking out. I'm like, bananas. And of course, my brother, who is just like 6 months or something like that. Oh God, I really don't know what age I was when I was 3 when this happened, so 2, 3 or 4. 4. Yeah, 4. I'm getting my timelines mixed up.
So when the thing with the lip, the
The
swing and the lip.
lip was, I got the dog when I was about 3, because my brother was about like was a little younger than 1 and just repeated everything I said, which is adorable looking back on it. But like when for the longest time looking back, I thought this dog's name was Bananas. But we named him Buddy after that my buddy and kid sister, like because we had those toys. So on the day I hurt my lip, he licked the blood. And Dad tried to explain that he, like, it wasn't an evil thing he did, and it's not my fault. But to protect me, he had to put Buddy down. He didn't want him to bite me. He was scared of that. And he would, like, he didn't want me to watch, which I appreciate. But when I heard the shot, I just associated so much. And so,
So he had to put the dog down because of did the
because he
dog
had a taste for my blood.
so that when the thing happened with your lip, the dog licked the blood away and he wanted to bite you?
He lifted it off the swing. Like, he cleaned the swing off. Like, Dad saw that he was covered in my blood. And he didn't like that he had to do that, which I appreciate. I understand, like, the nature of things. And with Dad's history of losing his sister and not having his daughter, losing me was his biggest fear. With all his kids, but especially me, because it was a super big, like, reminder of that trauma. Of course, me being me already, like, I'm holding on to this because my mom convinced me I had to hold on to things, and Dad wasn't around enough to change those inner critique thoughts. I went to, like, it was, my scar was still very vivid. Is this okay, sweetie? My dog's licking. Starling, stop. She's a sweetheart. And Starling is my service dog in training, or emotional support dog mostly, because I don't take her in places most of the time, except for walks. And I started school shortly after that. I was still four when I started school, because my birthday's in September. It was at a Christian homeschooling church-led homeschool thing that my brother went to. And I started kindergarten there. I don't know long how long I was there before it started happening, but I actually wrote this in my first novel, and that's where I recovered the n memory. Like, I was dissociative, and I discovery write, so whatever comes out. And I read it back, and I'm like, that fucking happened to me. And this just, like, explosive rage just came into my brain. Like, so I had a, like, in kindergarten, they had the, like, nap time. So I had a homemade mat that had puppies on it. And so I connected to Buddy, like, during nap time. And I don't know how many times it happens. I only remember one. But, like, oh man, my heart is shivering with this, like just shivering body, but, like, around my heart, just, like, the zaps, like, that wasn't right. Like, I was pulled off of my mat and taken into the bathroom by a teenager. He's probably, like, 15, 16.
And how old
And
was you?
I was about four. It was before, like, four or five, like, it was somewhere around that range, because it wasn't long after I got there. And he was the pastor's adopted son. Like, the adopted daughter stole from us as well. Like, stole our piggy banks or unicorn banks. But, like, he sexually abused me, like, stripped me down, touched me, made me touch him, made me put my mouth on things, to the point where I still remember jeans on my still tender scar.
So you were 4 and he was around 15 and he was sexually abusing you.
And I told mom dad wasn't home. And I don't know if she even looked into it, but she said something to the effect of like, he had Down syndrome, he didn't know what he was doing, and nothing happened. But I have a feeling dad got, maybe didn't get wind of it, because I have a feeling he would have reported it or something. But like, he didn't trust the guy around me. And mom would make excuses for him. But like the next, like in first grade, I went to public school. So I consider that a dad success. I was an outcast. My brother, my older brother, joined the popular crowd when he was in junior high, because he was around that age. And or yeah, middle school, junior high. And so like that, not only did I feel like an outcast because I was a scapegoat in the house, my younger brother was the invisible child, my older brother was probably golden child, and there were times that we interchanged because we were constantly vying for attention. But like I had no clue who I was. I didn't feel comfortable reading in public. But I learned to get more comfortable with it in school. So I'm glad for that. The teachers were my best friends. And if that doesn't say you're a struggling child, I don't know what else does. I say that sometimes, if it doesn't say whatever, what else does. But like, I had a cousin that I learned about there. And it was almost like I was chasing his friendship because I wanted that familial connection. I remember I wanted a rat tail like his. And because of the sexual trauma I started, and also the way my older brother was treated, the boys were actually treated better than I was for the most part. I mean, we were all spanked, but it was a varying degrees of how much rage was in the punishment.
So you're all spanked by your mother.
And dad would spank us, but like he wouldn't do it when he was angry. And he would only do it in cases like, at one point I rode a bike to my great aunt's house from my granny's. And there was no shoulder, there was no view really. It was curvy and woodsy, so like it would have been likely if there was anybody coming, they wouldn't have seen me. So things like that, he would say, I'm only doing this so that you can understand, like your body can understand. It would hurt a lot more if you got run over. So there were lessons behind it, and it was just enough to like, he came from military background. So, and in some cases, harsh reminders can benefit if they're done in the correct way, I think. Like based on my history, like I've been as benefited, like after fights, it's like, oh yeah, I fucked up. Like that kind of thing. So it was, there was a difference in the energy behind it. And that's the reason I'm like very much an energy worker, energy sensor, because
But do you still wish that he just could have, with his words and softness,
yeah,
explained it to you rather than spank you?
I do. And I honestly think if he had known there was a better way, because they taught in our church that, spare the rod meant like literally sparing the rod. If the Bible is taken literally, and I would read it, I'm like, there's no way that you can take this literally because it contradicts itself so many times.
It does.
Just follow the New Testament. Well, then why do you have me read the Old Testament first or at all? Like, why do you obsess that I learned the Ten Commandments? They're in the Old Testament. Like, it didn't make sense. Yeah, there was a lot of identity confusion. As I got older, I fell in love with horseback riding. We had a quarter pony. It was a half quarter horse, half pony, named Rusty. That horse did not like it when people were on him. But like, I would ride him bareback. He bucked me off onto a thorn bush. That was fun. And he would run underneath trees trying to knock me off, but like I learned very quickly to like get down so he would get whacked first. And that's how I broke him. It was like very humane, like freeing for both of us. Like it was so fun. And I was like 6 or 7 doing this, so like that's kind of badass of me. Like really not wanting to, control anything. I had bunny named Bright Eyes, but we didn't get to keep them for very long. They lived right in front of the potato cellar with the root cellar. So they got ear mites, and it's like it just wasn't like the best treatment. So dad got him a better home. But like I had hamsters that I left the cage like the lid off when I was cleaning them, cleaning the cage. So they got into the vents and we lived in a trailer. So I used to joke that they were gonna like breed with the mice. So just there was a lot of distraction for me. I got get very creative in my brain, especially since there was a strong likelihood I wouldn't keep animals. But they became my friends. The woods became my friends. Deep Creek, which, if I had walked in it right now, it'd probably come up to my waist. Like I would swim in it so much and slide on a slide. Like we had a rock slide. And so I made a lot more friends with like the spirits around me than in real life. In second grade, I peed myself at school because I wasn't actually in the reading group that needed help, which I was really proud of at that time. And I raised my hand and I was waiting for her to call on me. She never called on me and I dissociated, didn't feel myself lose control of my bladder. But people moving away and laughing drew the attention. Mom had to bring me clothes, but then later, like she would beat me when I peed myself. Like at home, like if she caught me in the bed, I remember my still damp ass would be bare and she'd hit me with fly swatter.
For
Which,
wetting your bed.
yeah.
Wow, I'm sorry.
And that was after watching scary movies. Like I remember a Candyman. Like I woke up and thought I saw a hook scratching on the window. And I was 5 when that happened. So it was just when my sister was living with us, I learned later that she would hide the laundry until she could do it and change the sheets so that mom wouldn't find out.
Wow. to
Like,
protect you from
yeah.
being beaten. Wow.
My sister was a scapegoat. Anytime dad showed us attention, my mom would get mad. Mom would say that we're bad. And it was worse for Mary for those few years because she was mom's stepdaughter. Like, I would get in trouble for calling mom mommy dearest, but that's how I felt. Like, that she was that controlling and abusive. As I grew up, we ended up, we had more horses. We moved to another town that was 12 miles away. I had cats, I had birds. I had a bird named Beaky. He was a parakeet. And then I got Betty, which was a yellow one. She tried to escape and went to the air conditioner and then and like my brain, if it tells you how fucked up my life was at the point, I joked that she was just trying to commit suicide because she was married to because she was getting married. Like, I saw from my dad's experience how torturous marriage was, but I also had that religious purity culture, narcissistic mom who wanted grandkids that she could control and, work for her and take care of her. Like, that was also in the back of my mind. Throughout these years, I was still being sexually abused by people like outside of the home, but like people from outside of the home, but inside of the home.
So, like
My,
friends of the family.
yeah. Like, I grieved the death of a guy who would pinch my ass in front of my mom.
And she would not say anything.
She would laugh.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
And say it was because I was wearing short shorts.
Oh. Blaming you, I see.
Yeah, and they were mid thigh, not short shorts at all. So like I would really connect to these animals. I had a cat named Tabby that like she would just sit on my shoulder as I was walking through the yard. Like, it was I loved these animals. My mom likes breeding dogs, which she's not a humane dog or animal owner. And I have a moral injury from not reporting her, but I don't know what I would say or like, if there's anybody in that area that even follows the federal mandate to not abuse animals, like, that's how much I distrust the area where I grew up. If I'm saying too much at once, you can tell me to take a breather, and for yourself too, by the way. I can be talkative when I'm like super passionate about a story, and yeah, so the main antagonist in my life is really my ex-husband. I watched my great aunt die because I was taking care of her. And I sang at her funeral a song called Home Free, talking about eventually at the ultimate healing will be home free. So suicidal ideation, connecting with the spirits. And I went to a youth rally that same day. The girls were like snickering and like pointing at me, and I was just like, whatever. So I went to another area of the church, and he followed me.
Who did the guy that pinched you?
My ex-husband, like,
Oh, your ex.
yeah. And we had known a lot of the same people growing up. Like, we had gone to the same churches. So like I knew him. but I didn't know him. But I always had this weird sense about him. Like I just didn't trust him.
So you met him in the church community.
So he I didn't say much. I just wanted to be left alone. I actually wanted to sleep. But like he just kept bothering me, and I went back to public school that year. And like one of the first things he said to me after stalking me through the hallways was like, "Oh, I'm stalking you. You're your Ben's brother, aren't you?" And so, but and I had short hair by that time because I had gotten lice from a girl that my mom had babysat, and
And
who,
how, what is your age here?
I was about 15.
Okay.
Like it was short. Like I turned 16 the month after, or within the month after I started school.
So you met your ex when you were around 15 through
Like
your church community?
I re-met him like when I was 15,
Okay.
but I'd known him for a few years,
Okay.
just in passing. And he would look at me when I said weird things because I'm weird, whatever. So I just didn't like it, but I didn't know I could say no because it had been ingrained in me, and not to say no, but also protect yourself from sexual abuse. While also, I forgot to mention, like, I didn't know until recently what my mom did to me was likely sexual abuse. Like, she would force me to tweeze her bikini line, to shave her, to put massage oil on her. She would force me to, like, get wounds on her, like, pimples on her butt or whatever they're called. Anytime I told her not to touch me, she's like, "I've changed her diaper, I've seen it all, and I birthed you, I can do whatever." And one of her favorite things to say when I was growing up is, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Like, so
No way. Your mother said that?
a lot, a lot. Anytime she beat me, anytime she was disappointed in me, anytime I said that I didn't, like I made the mistake of questioning the Bible in front of her.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open. I'm just, that is fucking wild. I brought you into this world so I can take you out of it, or something like that is absolutely insane.
It's
How fucking
enmeshing.
dare she?
Yeah,
Who the
like
fuck does she think she is?
definitely not who she claims to be. But like that led me into I think I married a I honestly think he might have been a psychopath. Like he married me, forced me to drink, forced me to free sleep with people that he worked with. And then like when my dad was dying and he had ALS and Lyme disease together.
Wow, I'm
Like
sorry.
when he was dying, he would make fun of him and be like, "Haha, I make fun of your dad's disability." And then after he died, he's like, "Oh, he was a piece of shit anyway. You don't need to grieve him."
Your husband said this to you?
Yeah, my ex-husband. Like he trafficked me. Like there was money. Like I was the sole breadwinner for a long time. I ended up joining, so I worked a lot of jobs. I don't know if he had part of this, but like he asked me to get an extra job when I was hostessing as a babysitter for a woman that I worked with. She was a waitress, and I was raped by her husband. Multiple times to the point where I demonstrated to my friend how I deep throat.
I
She
just
wasn't a
I,
friend. She wasn't a friend.
oh. Can I
Like,
just ask, what is the age you get married to this ex-husband? I just need a timeline because I'm a little bit, when do you get married to this man? And how far from, how long after you got married did he start, doing the things he did? to you and getting other people involved to rape you, let's say as it is.
Like I think he got others involved before me because like
Oh.
the timeline's mixed up, but I think this all happened in between like when I started school and my birthday, my 16th birthday. I had been dating somebody in college that, he was nice, but, just wasn't right. So I had broken up with him and it was cordial. Or whatever word you want to use. And then, but that guy fingered me on the couch under a blanket when my mom was in the room. Like his friend, like one of his friends who was 19 in the same chemistry class as us. And
Your ex-husband's friend did that to you in your home on the couch in front of your mother.
And I dissociated to where I felt and looked like in my body, like I felt like I was looking up at the couch and like it was the big comfy couch from like that cartoon or the show. I was a babysitter, so I watched it a lot. but like I was looking up and like for a long time I didn't know what was happening. And my relationship with my ex started. Like mom had me doing her chores. I was putting her, like I was making her bed and putting her clothes away. And she had him helping me. She asked my ex-husband to help me. And I remember what I was wearing so clearly. Like it was a horizontal blue striped shirt, one of my favorites, and overall, like shorts, black shorts. And it was a cute as fuck outfit. I loved it. But like, he started molesting me and then flipped me over, threw the sheet over me, and ate me out. Then pushed me against the refrigerator, put his hand against my throat, and his hands were big enough to cover my throat and my face. And he said, if you scream, nobody will believe you. And even if they do, it's your fault because you're a whore.
And this is going on when your mother is in the house.
She was reading in the living room.
And he is how, what age?
He was 3 months older than me.
So you are what, 16, both of you?
At that point, I was 15. But like, so that was how it started. I tried to break up with them at one point, and I was grounded when we were supposed to go out on a date, and he decided he was going to go out with one of my friends. Asked her to the movie he had invited me to after because I tried to break up with him.
Wow.
But then he tried to claim that I was jealous and I tried to break up with him after that. So like it, in my head I got confused of like what happened when, and that's why I have just timeline disruptions because I don't know when things happened. I just know they happened.
Yeah, I get that. You've probably been so dissociated that, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So like after I got raped by my friend's husband, I switched to a security job, which I was really good at. My attention to detail is like superb. I like doing shift reports because it's just so like it's like journaling basically. I would watch the cameras and I loved I there would be a bunny in the background and a spider up the, here, and so it's like a bunny versus spider, but they become friends, like theme in my head. So yeah, I had fun and I was good at what I did. I was selected to do background checking from that job, but all the while like he was trying to maintain control over me. But I had enough distance from him at this point because like, I forgot to mention like my senior year, he got all the classes with me except for, see, I had to do English lit, which I hadn't done. They wouldn't take my credit from homeschooling, and which is good because I only had Christian, like the Bible as a book. And then there was one other class, but he became a manager of my track and cross country team when he weighed over 300 pounds and didn't run. He joined chorus when he couldn't fucking sing. All so he could know exactly what I was doing and tell me what to do. He tried to control what I ate when I was in cross country and would say, I'm your manager. So I decided there's one job that I know he won't be able to follow me in because he had followed me to the security job I was working. It would he often worked at the main office and was watched the camera feed of where I was in the other office. So like I just started fighting back in whatever way I could, but I was like, I'm gonna join the army. Because my older brother was army, my dad was navy, my sister was navy. Why not? Took the ASVAB, the army and the air force were fighting it over me. The air force had airborne cryptologic linguists. I'm like, I wanna fly and I wanna learn language. So there we go. That was my second one was ground linguist. My third one was EOD. Like, I wanted to detonate bomb, like undetonate bombs. That, like, looking back, it's like I had somewhat of a death wish at one point.
Yeah, you did.
But like, also, it was like, if I learn to master it, I won't die. That kind of thing. So, I learned the language, and my first time flying on an aircraft was joining the military. Made a lot of mistakes along the way. When I was in basic training, that's when my dad got sick. He died right after, like 6 months after the most violent sexual assault I went through, which happened during survival training with new SEER, which is survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. So it's hardcore survival. So when my dad died, I gave up on myself, like my will to be myself. And I knew at that point, because like my ex's mom worked for a law office, like a family law office, my best course was to figure out what I could do. So I got my first degree, or I started legal studies, but I switched to criminal justice. Got my master's in sports and health sciences. I have multiple associate's degrees, including nutrition and writing, like creative writing. So it's just like I just had this thirst for knowledge. And I'm through the course of it, I became like really promiscuous after my dad died and after this trauma. It's like, well, if I can't beat him, join him. But at least I could take what I could and not to brag, but I'm good at sex. I have Night at the Roxbury in my head. But like I learned to get like whatever energy release I could. And over time, I eventually met my now spirit husband. And even though we still struggle at times because we both have CPTSD and dissociation, like he has helped me grow so much and he inspires me. And he, the best of all, like when I ask him for his thoughts and opinions, he's like, figure it out yourself. You can do it. I don't know what you need to do. You can figure it out. Like, if you need me to listen to you, I can, but it's your decision.
So it's
So,
like reminding you of your power and your capability.
yeah. But like now, I'm a creative writer, an artist, a graphic designer. I make journals. I'm a writing coach. I ha now have a client that, like, I'm not officially a yoga instructor yet, But I'm offering her tips and communicating with her. And she's one of my military friends. So it's like a connection that I didn't have in the military, but it's grown since then. So life's getting better.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for you that things are better and you have your husband now. And how are things with your siblings? Are you on speaking terms with them?
I talked to my half sister, but there's a distance between us because I'm not sure what's the truth and what was just lies fed to me by my mom, so I'm still uncovering that. My older brother ghosted me. I cut off my mom. My brother tried to convince me that I didn't want to talk to him because I didn't want to talk to my mom. So I told him that was an enmeshment. I hope he gets help if he want if he decides to, and I'm always here if he wants to reach out, but like I'm not responsible for their feelings.
You're not.
They're adults, and one was I'm a 10 I'm about 10 years older than my mom was when she had me.
Wow.
So yeah. But it's okay. I've made a found family. I've helped a few people who have struggled with similar paths as mine get into their creative journeys, and I just finished a critique and learning that I was right that I could help, because I was fearful that it wasn't going to be any like worth anything. But I just finished that, and I'm editing a novella of my writing coach client.
Wow.
It feels so fucking magical. And like my husband and I were we've picked out a potential home that we want to buy. And I'm shaking for another reason, because I want it so bad. I'm so scared that it's not going to come to fruition. But yeah, I'm going to quit my rambling, and just to like show the power of creative writing, I want to read two things. And I apologize, I am so long-winded.
Oh, honey, have you met me?
Now I
You
have.
know, I think that that can, I don't, I'm not saying that you have to have trauma, and I'm not saying that it's connected to CPTSD, but I think many CPTSD survivors can be long-winded in our explanations, including myself, because many of us were not believed. So we give a ton of details that actually are very unnecessary. People still get what we're saying without all the details. And also because of the dissociation. I think there can be several reasons. So no judgment from me. And as I said before we started recording, this is your time. You tell your story as you desire. But yes, I'm very excited to hear the creative part.
Do you want to hear the page or the poem first?
Let's end with the poem. So the
Sounds
page
good.
first.
Page first. Okay. I'm gonna drink some water because my mouth is dry.
Yes, please do.
Warambush. Istirahatku. Oh, this is one of my favorite things to write. How would light think? Perhaps it would want to show all the beauty in the world to others. Perhaps the wind wanted to spread the seed of calm to the world to send seedlings to travel and grow in the new environment. She smiled. This is Kala, by the way. Kala Skaggs. Daniel looked right at her and growled, "You did this," he said through clenched teeth. And Daniel is inspired by my husband, but not the same history, by the way. "No, Daniel, I didn't. Look up there." She saw sorry, what it was right as she pointed. Then she felt it. Carl was in the room. Blood magic was used. I can feel it. The air reeks of sulfur and iron. At her words, Daniel shrank to the ground. I'm sorry. I wanted to kill you right then. It's okay, Kala said. She knew what it was. Carl has extreme compulsion abilities. It took me a long time to see it, but I know now. I've been controlled all my life up until I met you. I won't use my newfound strength on you, I swear. Why would you say it like that? Now I'm thinking you might. He looked into her eyes and sighed. No, I know you won't. You won't even hurt wasps who sting you. Guess again, Kala said, looking up at Carl. Her stomach heaved and she let it out as a burp. Nice one. How'd you find us? How did he find us? Daniel said. I don't know. The lack of tension against her stomach settled it. She was calm. She was fluid. She was the water. Kala stared at Carl, standing where the main door would have been. Now it was just a hole in the wall. She absorbed the energy from the water as it flowed from the walls. She brought forth her hand and smiled, putting her fury into the energy she would throw. A jet of water streamed from her hand, boiling as it flew into the in a torrent towards Carl. He tried to block her mind with his power, but she was ready for him. In her mind's eye, the boiling water hid his compulsion, and he fell backwards into the void itself. His guards would be unable to help him unless they too jumped or fell. Oh, and the next one. Like, Grace had been quiet through all this, but yelped when she saw Carl fall. Shall we see what it's for dinner? Kala laughed. Daniel looked at Grace and asked, was that a cannibal joke? Grace responded with a smile at Kala. It was strange how alike they looked. I've learned from the best.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. And the last one is called My Android Ex-Husband. He didn't see me, shaking beneath my skin, the tingling zap ascending my spine. Brother of Ben, he said with a sneer, his code sense insecurities. He latched on, then lured me to his den. Where he groped and prodded with praise, he hosed me, piled me with Boone's farm, demanded I sleep with two men who paid to fondle my hips and breasts as I teleported to a magical world, inside my head where I lived in a shielded dragged caves. My spirit trained for Freedom's Day. I sleepwalked, a sex robot smiling in my cage. Self-hatred turned outward. The shield shattered like glass. I screamed, I'm not your whore, until my voice cracked. Your response does not meet my needs, he said as his fist crashed into my ribs. Blood and vomit erupted onto shorts urine stained. He thrust a mop and bucket, demanded I clean up. I longed to be a whore, to meet Jack the Ripper reborn.
That was your storytelling. In that poem was you telling your story.
It was. I wrote it in my poetry writing class when I was getting my creative writing degree. And that has been one of the ones that resonated with me most. And I have another one about like combat traumas. It's called My Flight Jacket or something like that. But it's very powerful to turn pain into power. And
It
I'm
is.
not. I'm not thankful for it. I don't think I had to be born into this life, but God damn, I'm taking ownership of it.
And good for you. And how beautiful that you are using writing to alchemize that pain.
Oh, I am totally an alchemist, like a paranormal scientist. My husband calls me a mad scientist in the kitchen, but I'm a mad scientist anywhere, but more like I'm mad than her.
I get that. And that's so beautiful. Truly. Kara, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Like I the one podcast episode I was listening to recently that really just like encouraged me was the Totem one, Totem Spaces.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
Wow.
so connected with how I heal. Like I do, I go to therapy. I'm in treatment. I'm on medications, but like I'm not gonna let that distract me from what my main purpose, which is self-expression.
I love that.
That was it for today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate Alchemical Voices and follow the community on Instagram. Until next time.